at all times, with our, not just with our lips, but also with our lifestyle. I want to echo what Minister Terman said about Sister Raven. Kind of watched her from afar for many years now. I know she had worked with Covenant Keepers some, and just a very godly young lady. You know, the Bible says older women teach the younger women. So you don't have to necessarily be chronologically old. You can be old in Christ and mature in the faith and impact younger ladies. She's one of those young ladies. Ariana, our youngest daughter, she was blessed several months ago. This lady is about 40 or so and mature in the faith, kind of her and Ariana kind of hooked up. So she's kind of a spiritual mentor for Ariana. And they talk once or twice a week and spend time together. But if Ariana didn't have her, I'd be trying to hook her up with Raven, And the Good News Study Club is a blessing. When Ariana was at East Brainerd Elementary School, she was involved with that ministry, and it's just a blessing. And I'm going to tell you, it would be an indictment. It would be an indictment against us as a church if we can't get 2, 3, 4 people involved with that. It would be a serious indictment against us as a people of God. And so I want to encourage you and beg of you, really, to contact the church office, contact me, or I'm going to take some pastoral privileges there. Maybe contact Minister Terman or Sister Terman. She works at Artenop Middle School during the week. And also, of course, we're in Hardy Elementary School with the tutoring program. So, of course, Sister Hardaway is over there. So, really, between Hardy Elementary School and Artenop Middle School, once again, it would be an indictment if we can't get a few people involved. And the program is laid out for you. It's not like you got to come up with a lesson plan every week. So we need some teachers. We need some volunteers. We need some people praying for those two schools. Yeah, that's a place to say amen, not a place to get quiet. If we want to really be serious about impacting this culture for Jesus, impacting this culture for God, it takes a little work. Roll up your sleeve. It takes a little work. Takes a little work. But guess what? Christ himself empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Jesus says, as we go and make disciples, he said, lo, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the age. So we're not doing this alone. We're not doing it alone. So I want to, matter of fact, when Sister Leah come in Tuesday, I want the voicemail thing to just be filled up. 10, 12 voice messages on there. Hey, I want to be involved. I want to be involved. Y'all keep getting quiet on me. Y'all keep getting quiet. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, stand with me, and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and I'll read verses 27 and 28 in your hearing, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. These are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All the Bible is God's word, all of it. But, you know, oftentimes it's accounting what other people did and different things. But all of it is the word of God. We should cherish all of it. But as my grandmother used to say, when you see the red letters, when you see the words of Jesus, you need all the more pay attention. You need all the more pay attention. But listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Matthew chapter 5, this is part of the greatest sermon ever preached, part of his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6 and 7. But Matthew 5, 27, 28, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And these are the words of Christ, but young ladies, women, it could be said also, whoever looks at a man to lust at him in her heart, he's already committed adultery. So my thought this morning is you shall be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful to your spouse. You may be seated. Be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful to your spouse. Dear Lord, I pray that indeed the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Father, give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And dear God, as your word goes forward, work in the hearts and minds of each one of us, dear God. Let your word rebuke and correct and encourage or exhort the people of God. Father, we thank you now for this opportunity to hear what you have to say. Speak now, for we are listening. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. Be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful to your spouse. This seventh commandment tells us, do not, you shall not commit adultery. I don't have to tell you all or convince you all that marriages are under attack. Christian marriages, especially Christian marriages, are under attack. In today's culture, having a monogamous relationship, that means one man and one woman, having that type of relationship, or even a heterosexual relationship, one man and one woman, that thing today is kind of quote unquote old fashioned, they say. If you don't believe me, just watch the average television show or watch a movie. And the idea of marriage God's way is actually mocked or made fun of. If you're watching any movie, it could be a quote unquote pretty good movie, but right in the middle of that movie, they come with this crazy sex scene. Some man and woman that's not married, just right in the middle of the movie. I mean, Hollywood screams out, you can do your own thing, fulfill your sexual desires however you see fit. Don't worry about the Bible. Don't worry about God. Just do your own thing. That's what society says. That's what the world says. That's what the flesh says. Satisfy your sexual desires however you want to. It's okay to have premarital sex. It's okay to be a homosexual. It's okay to be an adulterer. It's okay, the world says. The culture says. But beloved, I tell you this morning, do not take the world's advice. Don't take that advice. God says you shall not commit adultery. And even as we deal with adultery this morning, I'm really encompassing all of sexual sins, be it premarital sex, be it homosexuality, be it pornography. All of that kind of comes under that. Jesus says, God says, you shall not commit adultery. God is so serious about this. And in Revelation 21, 7 and 8, you can write it down and read it later. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. God says that the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and the sexually immoral, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God is serious about any sin, but he's serious about this morning. Our focus is sexual sins. I've heard Mother Moore often say that verse is a guaranteed ticket to hell. Our God takes marriage very, very seriously. He says, let the marriage bed be undefiled. One man, one woman. And I'm going to give you a few reasons this morning why you should obey this command. I'm going to give you a few reasons why you should obey this command. Also, I'm going to give you a few ways that you can break this command. And then thirdly, I'm going to give you a remedy or a solution to this area. Let's start by first just saying, why not commit adultery? Well, number one, do not commit adultery just because God says not to. It's a command. I can just say D-N, do the benediction. We can go on home right now. I mean, just because of the fact God says it, God says you shall not commit adultery. That's reason enough not to do it. I don't have to give you another reason. God says not to do it. And as I've been saying through this series, God gives us parameters. He gives us guidelines. He gives us rules. Not so much to restrict us, if you will, but really to protect us. Remember the imagery once again, if you had a kindergarten kids and they near the interstate, I-24, I-75, it would be a wise thing to put a big fence around that school, right? Because little kids might run out into the interstate, might run into oncoming traffic. So it is with your life and my life. God puts parameters so we won't run out into the traffic. So we won't run out into an 18-wheeler. God says, you shall not commit adultery. Don't go along with what the world says. The thing about adultery, if you commit adultery, you're not only just breaking that sin, you're really breaking many other commandments. If you commit adultery, guess what? Commandment number one, God said you should have no other God before me. That's what God says. But if you commit adultery, you putting that sexual relationship, your sexual desires before God. So you're breaking commandment number one. If you're committing adultery, more than likely you're breaking the commandment of thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit false witness, because you covering up your tracks, you saying, well, I went here, but you really went there, or a crazy number come up on your phone, or somebody text you, you telling your wife or husband, I don't know who that is, and lying. you commit adultery, you're coveting somebody else's person, somebody else's spouse. You're breaking that commandment. And I can go on and on and on. If you commit adultery, you're breaking many commandments. So reason number one why you should not commit adultery is because God said it. God gives it to us as a command, not a suggestion, but a command. Another reason, if you're taking notes, another reason that you or I should not commit adultery is there are always, listen to me well, there are always negative consequences to the sin of adultery. Matter of fact, there's always negative consequences to any sin. But this morning, once again, we're focusing in on adultery. There are always negative consequences to adultery. Y'all have heard the old saying, the grass looks greener on the other side. Oftentimes you get over there, it doesn't look so greener. But I heard someone once say, if the grass looks greener on the other side, just water the grass right where you are. Just water the grass right where you are. I often tease Brother Rodney Scott. He has a nice yard, and I ride my bike and walk by there every now and then. Nice, green, lush yard. And mine doesn't look so green. It got weeds and stuff growing up on it. So rather than envying Rodney's yard, I just need to do some work on my yard. So you're thinking the grass looks green. All this, I just water the grass where you are. If your wife is not what you think she should be, help her to be what she should be. If your husband is not what she should be, help him to be what you should be. So water the grass on your own side. There are always consequences. There are always negative consequences to sin. I can't say that enough. There's always negative consequences to any sin. But we're dealing this morning, once again, with adultery. Keep your finger in Matthew 5. We'll come back there. But turn with me real quickly to Proverbs 5. And it's going to kind of be dealing with just very general sexual sins. But once again, it can be applied easily to adultery. The Word of God, Proverbs chapter 5. Either turn there. Or in this day and time with your iPads and iPhones, you can hit a button and be there. But as I was telling the new members class this morning, if you got your iPhone out, make sure you're looking at the Bible and not Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or some of that stuff. Be in the Bible. Be in the scriptures. I may not know it, but the Lord knows it if you're not in the scriptures. Proverbs 5, listen to these warnings. Listen to these. God is just screaming out to us, do not commit adultery. Do not commit premarital sex. Do not do these things, God says. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 5, verse 15. And most of these are written kind of directed toward the husband, to the man. But once again, ladies, it can be applied to you as well. But Proverbs 5:15 says, drink water from, listen to the imagery, drink water from your own cisterns and running water from your own well. Then verse 18 says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and as a graceful doe. Let her breast, yeah, that's in the Bible. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Oftentimes, let me just say this real quickly, parenthetically. Oftentimes in the Christian context, God created sex. God created, it's a good thing in marriage. It's a good thing in marriage. So that's not even, we take culture and we know most times sex is perverted. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. But that doesn't come into the marriage. It's a good thing in marriage. Let the husband and wife say amen. So God says always be enraptured with her love, with his love. Once again, water that grass on your own side. Water your own grass. But also God warns us a little bit. Also again in Proverbs chapter 6 verse 25 through 29. Listen to what he says. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 25 through 29. He says, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. And as an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Listen to this. These are rhetorical questions. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer is no. Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? No. So it is who goes into his neighbor's wife, adulterous neighbor's wife, whoever touches her shall not be innocent. I'm going to talk in a few minutes about this whole thing of adultery. Like many sins, starts with a thought. It starts in the mind. So don't be talking about, well, I can go over his house. I can go over her house. And it'll be okay. Nothing going to happen. No, you're going down a dangerous path. Proverbs 7:21 through. And there's going to be a little extra quiet this morning. I'm not going to get too many amens this morning. That's all right. I got to tell you the truth. I got to preach the Bible. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21 through 24 says, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Listen to this. Listen to this imagery. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his very life. Again, God screams out, stay away from sexual sin. Stay away from homosexuality. Stay away from adultery. Stay away from fornication, premarital sex. The Bible is clear on this. God is clear on this. And see, once again, society, culture, TV, they throw all this stuff on the screen and get you to laughing at it and this and that. Oh, that's no big deal. Next thing you know, you believe that foolishness. So my job this morning is just let you remind you or reiterate or maybe acknowledge, first time somebody's hearing this. God is not pleased with any sin, but he's not pleased with these sexual sins. Again, just because the culture says it's okay, just because your buddy says it's okay, just because your next door neighbor says it's okay, just because the TV says it's okay, it is not okay. It's a sin. It's not a choice, a lifestyle. It's a sin. Let's just call it what it is. It's a sin. S-I-N. We can say that word in the Christian church, right? It's a sin. So you should not commit adultery, number one, because it's a command from God. He said it. He said, he's our creator. He made us. He knows what's best for us. You should not commit adultery because it's going to always, somebody say always, it's going to always leave some negative consequences. Another thing about a consequence of this sin called adultery, it leaves a type of inner and outer destruction. You might do it. You might get it right way with it. Nobody knows it. You know, your husband or wife don't even know it. Nobody knows it. But it's caused a type of inner and outer destruction. Listen to the words of David. A man after God's own heart. A man who loved the Lord. A man who wrote many of the Psalms. A man who was a mighty man of God. Listen to his words. He committed adultery. And not only that, he committed murder. Committed adultery with Bathsheba. Y'all know the biblical account. Then committed murder. Tried to cover it up. And most people calculate he probably tried to cover it up for almost a year. And then, of course, God had to send Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet gave him a little parable about one man had a bunch of sheep and he went and stole another man that just had one sheep. And David got furious. The prophet Nathan asked him, what should happen with that guy? And David said, that guy should live. He should die. He should die. He should not live. Nathan the prophet said, David, you are that man. But listen to the words of David after he had committed adultery, after he had committed murder, talking about how the consequences of adultery has some inner and outer destruction. Listen to what David said in Psalms 51. He said, I know my transgression and my sin is ever, the sin of adultery, the sin of murder is ever before me. Against you and you alone, O God, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And then David says, please, God, make me to hear joy and gladness. David said, Lord, I used to be joyful. I used to be full of joy and glad before I committed this sin and before I tried to cover up this sin. So God, return to me the joy of thy salvation. Return to me and hear joy and gladness that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. There's an inner and an outer destruction that comes along with this sin. David says in Psalms 32, listen, he said, when I kept silent, when I tried to hide this sin, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. He said, through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand, God's hand, was heavy upon me. And my vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of the summer. You can't be a follower of God. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and just do any kind of old thing. God's hand would be heavy upon you. If you can just do any of this old stuff and just say, oh, it's cool. I'm okay. I'm just doing this. I'm just going to say real, real definitively. I sincerely doubt your salvation. If you can just do any of this old stuff and say, it's okay. David said, day and night, God's hand was heavy upon me. It was like the heat of a hot summer day. My vitality left me because of my sinfulness. Then, of course, we know that biblical account. David finally came clean, finally confessed, finally repented, and God did return to him the joy of his salvation. But watch, once again, they're always, read the account when you get time. There still was some negative consequence that stayed with David the rest of his life. So don't commit adultery because God says not to. Don't commit adultery because there are always negative consequences inwardly and outwardly. You know, sin is a tricky thing. Sin is a tricky thing. It's pleasurable for a moment. Y'all got real quiet. Let's be, I'll be honest. I'm just going to preach real this morning. If sin wasn't fun at all, nobody would ever do it. It's pleasurable for a moment. But it leads down a path of destruction. And again, it typically, I told you why you should not commit adultery. It's not an exhaustive list, but those are two good reasons why you should not commit adultery. And here are some ways you do commit adultery. Because somebody, I even hear you and see you writing and say, well, preacher, well, pastor, I'm straight. I'm cool. I haven't cheated on my wife. I haven't cheated on my husband. Well, Jesus said it starts with a thought. He said it starts in your heart, in your mind. So you can even commit adultery without actually physically committing the act. Jesus says in Matthew 5:27-28, quickly turn back there if you're not there. I'm going to read this again and let you see this. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like last week when we talked about murder, Jesus talked about last week. If you had hatred in your heart or you can kill or murder somebody with your tongue, you can commit adultery without actually physically doing the act. Now, we know that's a sin. If you physically go hook up with him or hook up with her, we know that's a sin. But even before that, Jesus said, let me read it again. He said, you have heard it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus said, let me show you some ways that you can commit adultery you might not have thought about before. He said, I say to you, whoever looks at a woman or at a man, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. So just by looking at someone in an inappropriate way. Now, some people get real cloudy here and real gray. They're trying to get deep and stuff. So, well, when is a sin? You know, or I know when you've gone past that mark. See, there's nothing wrong with admiring the beauty of a lady or admiring a guy's handsome. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, and I know when you've gone too far. Come on, let's be real. You know when you've gone too far. Even though physically you might not have done the act, but in your heart, in your mind, you've done it in your heart or mind. Are you trying to plot? Well, I'm going to call her. I'm going to call him. You know when you've gone too far. You know when you've gone too far. When you do go too far, though, confess it, repent of it, and leave it right there. Don't be like some people say, well, I sinned, I did it in my mind, I might as well go do it anyway. No. Who thinks like that? That's a fool who thinks like that. Stop it right there and say, God, help me to help protect my mind, protect my thought life. So you can commit adultery in your heart. Another way that sometimes people don't think about, through pornography, which it's a multi-billion dollar industry, pornography. That's a way you can, commit adultery. Go behind your husband or wife, back and engage in pornography. Jesus said that this sin of adultery, this sexual sin is so, so terrible. Listen to what he says in verses 29. And 30, listen to what he says, because he just said you can commit this sin by just in your heart and mind. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now, we know Jesus is not literally saying cut off your hand or pluck out your eye, because think about it. He says in your heart. So you can pluck off all of your hands. You can pluck out all your eyes. But if it's still in your heart, you're still in sin. You can mangle your whole body. So it's a heart issue. So what is Jesus saying? This is what we call hyperbole, a classic overstatement. Jesus is just highlighting the seriousness of this thing so much so he gets our attention by saying, pluck out your eyes, cut off your hands. As a side note, though, it would be better to go to heaven with one hand and one eye than to be in hell with two hands and two eyes. But Jesus is saying, whatever you need to do to not commit adultery, do it. Check this out. If you're on a job and you see yourself falling for him or for her, change jobs. At least go to another department. Jesus, whatever you need to do, do it. You live in a neighborhood. Him or her just come by your house all the time. If it takes moving, move to another neighborhood. Jesus said, take drastic measures, whatever they are, to prevent you from doing this sin. You go to a workout place. You see her. Oh, she's fine. You see him. Oh, he's handsome. Go to another workout place. Jesus said, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to do to not commit this sin or any sin, but specifically this sin, do it. Whatever it is. Nothing is too extreme. Nothing is too bizarre. You know, the world says, nah, man, you doing all that? Nah, you undo all that. Nah, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to do to prevent you from committing this sin, Jesus said, do it. That's his point. Well, let's look at some solutions now to this sin called adultery, or this sexual sin called premarital sex, or the sin of homosexuality. Or really, you can apply these really to any sin once again, but we're looking specifically this morning at adultery. Even before I get to that, a friend of mine's in the 90s. I was working at TVA at the time, and he called me one day and he said, Gerald, man, I need to talk to you. So I met him for lunch, and as we began to talk, and you know, he professed to be a Christian, and I believe he was and is. And as we began to talk, he broke down and began to weep and began to cry. He said, man, I've committed adultery on my wife, and I need some help. I hate I've done this. I need some help. And he was weeping and crying, and we was in a restaurant. Again, any sin, but definitely these types of sins, cause some inner and outer destruction. So I would say with God, I would say with Jesus, don't go down that path. So if you're doing it, stop doing it. And if you're thinking about doing it, make sure you don't do it. Am I clear? Jesus clear? God is Bible clear? So once again, I kind of keep belaboring it because once again, we're bombarded with the opposite message. The world says, once again, just do your thing. You know, it's your thing. You know the old song. Do what you want to do. Yeah, I know the rest. So, but God says, no, it's not your thing. God said, I created you. You're made in my image. And I tell you what to do and what not to do. God said, I hadn't changed the commandments. Just because the culture has changed. God said, I'm still the same. Matter of fact, we say it all the time. God is saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. God said, I have not changed. I haven't nullified the Ten Commandments. I know we're under grace. We're not under the law, quote unquote. But God said, I still don't want you murdering. I still don't want you committing adultery. I still don't want you being an idolater. I still don't want you lying. I still don't want you stealing. So let's look at some solutions. Let's look at some solutions, because oftentimes we know we have a problem. We know we have some issues. But, you know, the bottom line is, how can we deal with these things? First thing, and these are not necessarily listed in any order of importance, but one thing you need to do to make sure you don't commit adultery, especially this adultery that Jesus just addressed, even in your heart and mind. Listen, it's simple. Write it down. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Like Sister Raven shared earlier, I bet most of y'all, especially if you got any Jay-Z fans in the house, I bet y'all didn't know he said some stuff like that. Huh? Basically, don't listen to G, don't listen to God. So be careful what you listen to. You can't convince me that the stuff you listen to, stuff you watch, that it will not impact you and affect you. You can't say, well, it ain't gonna bother me. No, that's a lie. The devil is a lie. If you watch something long enough, you listen to something long enough, it will impact you. I mean, I remember junk I listened to way back in the 70s. I'm gonna date myself. I listened to stuff way back in the 70s. It come on the radio, old school song. I remember every word. I'm like, man, I can't remember the Bible. Why can't I learn my verses like that? That stuff, you know, that ain't scripture. That's 40 years ago. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch. Young people, older people, be careful. And watch this. Kind of going along with it as I just think through this, you need to make sure that God is your ultimate desire. You better make sure that Jesus is your ultimate desire. Put your heart and mind on Jesus, and then you pursue God and pursue Jesus. All the other stuff just falls off. as you're following Jesus. You might say, man, I used to have a problem of lusting, but now I've been following God. I hadn't lusted in like a year. Just follow Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with God to protect my thought life. You know, certain prayers you can pray. You don't have to be one of them. I wonder, is that the will of God? You pray a prayer like, Lord, make my thoughts pure today. That's in the will of God. And we say we pray and believe in prayer. I believe I can pray that prayer and God can give me a pure thought life, a pure heart. Listen to what Romans 12:1-2 says. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or your spiritual service of worship. Listen, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It starts right here in your heart and mind. Say, God, get my head right today. Get my heart right today. So guard your thought life. Guard your heart. Say, God, keep me. I need you to keep me. Guard your heart. Guard your thought life. Another good solution. It's not an exhaustive list, but another thing, this is very practical. Just like that brother called me back in the 90s. Be accountable to someone. Men with men and women with women. Let me say that one again. I'm going to be very plain. If you do it the other way, you're going to cause some other problems. Men with men and women with women. Especially us brothers. You know, a lot of times men, we think, man, I got this. I can handle it. I can handle it on my own. No, you need some brother tracking with you to at least pray with you, encourage you, hold you accountable. I mean, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. He's somebody with you. You look at the prophets of old, you know, Elijah and Ezekiel and a lot of those brothers, when they rolled out, they were a mighty man of God, but they often had a little helper, somebody at least kind of with them. Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, when he sent out his disciples, how did he send them out? Two by two. So you need somebody you can be accountable with. You know, you can keep one another accountable, encourage one another, and challenge one another. Whatever. You need somebody that can help keep you accountable. Here's another great one. Talking about how you can be victorious in this area of do not commit adultery, do not commit premarital sex, do not commit homosexuality, and just on and on and on. It can be other sins too. Here's a great one. Be filled. We're commanded in Ephesians, Galatians 5, really. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, the only way you're going to live a life that's really pleasing to God is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it in your own strength. That was my mistake years ago in college. I remember one time being very convicted and my lifestyle wasn't right. And I remember praying to God. I remember praying. And this is what I said. I said, I'm going to do better. That's what I said. I should have been saying, Lord, help me to do better. God, I need you. And Jesus, and you know what? Guess what? Y'all have heard me say this before. I did do better for about 2 weeks. Then I was back doing some other crazy stuff. We need God. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to control us. Be filled, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And you will not, the Bible says, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You need Jesus. I need you. See, we need Jesus for salvation. Yes, we need Jesus for salvation, but we need Jesus every day. We need Jesus yesterday. We need him today. And if we're blessed to see tomorrow, we need him tomorrow. We need the Holy Spirit every day. And if you ever get to the point where you think, okay, I'm really flying high in this Christian thing. I got it going on now. I've overcome about 10 things. The Bible says, he who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. That's a form of pride. Really, pride goes before destruction. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I'm almost through. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Also, saints, as we seek to walk in victory in this area or any area, not only do we need to pursue God, pursue Jesus, ask him to help get my heart and mind right. Do I need to have some accountability. Not only do I need to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, but also, listen, use the power of Scripture. Use the power of scripture. Use the power of God's word. These are not just some little sayings or some little regular little book that was written. No, this is the word of God. Use the power of scripture. So when I read a verse, like, listen, write this down, read it later. I quote it quite often. When I read a verse as a Christian, like 1 Corinthians 10:13, this is the word of God for the people of God. Listen to what it said, no temptation. No, somebody say no. No temptation. So you can't be talking about, well, I couldn't help myself. Well, the devil made me do it. No, the Bible says no temptation. So quit using all these little foolish worldly excuses. And you might just say, well, the truth is, you just wanted to do it, whatever it was. But the Bible says no temptation. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. And God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. That's the word of God for the people of God. God said, I'm not going to even let something come on you that is so bad it got to take you out. God said, I'm going to always give you the way out. Y'all believe that? God said, I will always give you the way out. Then the question is, will you take it? But God always, Sister Tara, he always gives the way out. I can give you numerous examples as I look back over my past where God gave me the way out. And I wish I could sit here and say, every time I took the way out, whatever it was, but sometimes I didn't take the way out. But he always gives the way out. Let me just speak very clearly and very candidly in this area of sexual sin. Every married person I've talked to, be it Christian or non-Christian, who got married but had committed premarital sex, every single one of them say, I wish I would have waited. So that's the real truth. See, the world once again tells you the opposite. Well, you know, don't wait till then. Now, I often tell my girl, it's not like God's trying to keep something from you. He's trying to keep something for you. And I'm sure if I took a poll on every adulterous relationship, if they had to do it, they'd say, well, I wish I wouldn't have gone outside that marriage. Once again, these types of sins, these sexual sins, leave deep imprints. Deep imprints. You know, as I think back over my life, even as I was going through this, and you know, it's like the Lord kept saying, well, share this. And I was like, no, Lord, I don't want to say this. I don't want to share this. But many of y'all, if you just do the math, you can figure it out. See, Tanya and I, we've been married. We're heading to, 25 years now. They have almost 25 years. But check this out. I got a daughter who's 31 who lives in Michigan. It's not Tanya's daughter. It's amazing. Sometimes we had those things, people be trying to count up the years. But think about it. So that means I wasn't a virgin when I got married. But once again, I'm not definitely not saying that pridefully or boastfully or arrogantly, saying it very shamefully. And I will tell you right today from this pulpit, if I had it to do all over again, if I could look back down the annals of time and repeat some of the mistakes, especially sexual mistakes that I made in my life, I wouldn't make them. And that's coming from a man saying this, Aaron, I would wait until marriage before I delved in that thing called sex. It leaves carnage. It leaves scars. But with that being said, it's not the unpardonable sin. It's not the unforgivable sin. Yes, it's going to leave some scars. It's going to leave some bruises, but it's not the unforgivable sin. So maybe, especially for my singles, maybe you've crossed over that line. Maybe you're not a virgin. Well, you can start today. You start today. So I'm going to be different in this area called sex as I move forward. Married people, maybe you've crossed over that line called adultery. Well, you can stop today. You can stop today. You can confess and repent of it today and allow the Lord to restore you and restore your marriage. Listen to the words of Jesus once again, which brings all of us some type of encouragement in any area of your life. Once again, we're dealing specifically with these sexual sins this morning, specifically even adultery, but it could apply to lying or or murdering, killing people with your heart or with your tongue. It can apply to stealing. You might be into idolatry, putting other things before God. It can go on and on. But listen to the words of Jesus as he refers to this lady who was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, we won't even deal with the guys who brought her. We won't even deal with them for his time. But listen to what Jesus said to this lady who was caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus told her, go and sin no more. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. So that's the grace and mercy of God. But listen to the warning of God. Jesus didn't say, well, you forgive me. Just go back and live however you want to. Now, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you, but go and sin no more. So we're all guilty of some type of sin. Romans 3:23. Here's the gospel. You know what? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's not just physical death, that's eternally being separated from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So all of us are guilty of something. All of us are ex-something. You may not be an ex-adulterer. You may not be an ex-murderer, or you might be. You may or may not fight with idolatry, or you might be a liar, or you may or may not be a thief, on and on and on. All have sinned. Some of us, even this morning, are struggling with something even right now, this morning, some life-controlling thing in your life this morning. But listen, though, there's hope at the cross. Two people clapping. I said, there's hope at the cross. There's hope at Calvary. Matter of fact, listen to 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Write it down and read it later. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, or do you not know? It's serious business, saints. That the unrighteous will not, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Word of God for the people, God said, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then the Lord said, do not be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't let the world trick you. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let your own flesh trick you. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's premarital sex, nor idolaters, that's putting anything before God, nor adulterers, that's having sex with somebody that's not your husband or wife, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, we know what that is, nor thieves, nor covet. These are people who will not inherit the kingdom of God, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers. None of them will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. Such were myself. Such were some of you. But listen, I mentioned solutions. I mentioned remedies. Perhaps you jotted those down earlier, things that will help you in this walk. But watch this. Here's the best remedy. Here's the bottom line. He lists all those sins, lists all those things. So you will not come into my kingdom. You will not go to heaven. You end up in hell. All such were some of you. Listen, but you were washed. Oh, y'all not. I'm not talking about being washed with Irish Spring or Tide, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. So if you were on that list, and the Bible really says all of us want to list somewhere, but we've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart. We've been justified. We've been declared righteous. Wait a minute. I'm not trying to get y'all happy. I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been justified, been set apart, been declared righteous by a holy and an awesome God. I can come to the throne of God because Christ is making intercession for me. Because Christ went to the cross, lived a perfect sin-free life, went to Calvary's cross, died for my sin, died for your sin. He was buried, but on the third day, he rose again with all power in his hands, walked the earth 40 more days, then went on back into heaven. What is he doing now, Pastor? Well, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you, praying for me, making intercession for us, helping us to get our thought life right, helping us to get our words right, helping us to get our actions right. He's praying for us even right now. He washed us, he sanctified us, he justified us, and he can help us to live righteous. Can anybody say hallelujah today? He can help us to live righteous. He can help us to live holy. He can do that. Only he can do that. Only he can do that. Only he can do that. I don't know about you, but my life was a mess until I met Jesus. I didn't even know it really, but my life was a mess until I met Jesus, until I met my Messiah. So Jesus says, come just as you are. Come just as you are. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. When sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stain, he can clean us up and keep us clean. I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, worn, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He can return your joy this morning. He can return your peace this morning. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll protect you. He'll guard you. He will provide for you. He is a good God. He is a mighty Savior. His Spirit is in me and in you if you belong to him. He is a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He can do for us what we couldn't even do for ourselves. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. A mighty deliverer. A mighty Savior. A mighty King. You ought to praise him this morning. If you know him, you ought to say hallelujah. You ought to praise him. You ought to worship him. You ought to serve him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be saved. He saved us. Not only from a burning hell, that's eternal, but he saves us every day. He keeps us. I'm glad he saves me every day. I had to preach the gospel to myself every day. He saves me. I had to run to the cross every day. You kept me yesterday, but I need you to keep me today. I need you to keep me tomorrow. Hey, Jeremiah said every morning we have some new mercies, some new mercies, some new mercies. I don't know about you, but I need him every day. Need him every day, because we have to run out and do some foolish stuff. We have to run out into the road and hit that 18 wheeler. But God in his grace, God in his mercy, God in his sovereignty, he's given us some rules, he's given us some commandments. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, abide with me and I'll abide with you, and you will bear much fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. You have some love. You have some joy. You have some peace. You'll be patient. You have loving kindness. You have some self-control. So let the Spirit of God rule in your heart. Let the Spirit of Christ rule in your heart. Let God rule in your life. Walk by the Spirit and you will not. Not you might not. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Because let's be honest, most of the time our desires of the flesh is messed up, it's jacked up. So God said, keep me, Lord. Keep me near the cross. Keep me near to you. Keep me near to you. Father, we do need you to keep us.